Good evening. Please excuse me for my voice because June invited me for the 7 a.m. service also, and then had a 10:30 service followed by PCC, and then now 5 p.m. So pray for me that my voice will hold for the 7:30 p.m. service. Reason why I'm attending all the services is that I'm leaving the cathedral very soon, and so I guess my colleagues want to max me out now. Squeeze as much as possible out before I go. First of all, I want to say that it has been a wonderful 13 and a half years in the cathedral. Right? Bishop posted me to Cathedral 2003 in February. So now it's 13 and a half years. And when I was posted to the cathedral, I want to tell you that it was the lowest point in my ministry and life, right? There was so much pain and sadness and regret, you know, and a sense of being very broken. But 13 years in the cathedral has been a place of solace, healing, restoration, and making so many lovely new friends, and so many people that I will have to say goodbye to, and it wouldn't be easy. So I will try my best to not get too emotional. But thank you all for your friendship. We do ask that you remember Joyce and I in prayer as we unexpectedly were given this posting and assignment to Pastor Chapel of Christ, the King. Today, I have been asked to share with you on the physical expressions of worship. Physical expressions of worship. Can we have the slide? Last Saturday, two Saturdays ago, I, like many, many Christians, was glued to the TV screen as our hearts were in our mouth with about less than 1 minute now watching our swimmer schooling, right? Dive into the pool, and finally when he hit the end and it was confirmed that he won the race, he beat even Michael Phelps and the other world champion. My goodness, I tell you one thing, honestly, I was screaming and jumping up and down and clapping. My friends asked me, why didn't you say, wow, we won gold? It's just impossible, right? And it was such a moment of exhilaration and joy and rejoicing that what your heart felt was so strong that even your body cooperated. Okay? All right, I would love to see someone watching the race and Joseph Schooling won the first goal for us, and all that person did was, wow, not bad. I will probably murder chicken. What's the matter with you? And so in our worship of God, who is more exciting than the Lord Jesus Christ? All that He has done for us, all that He is doing, He's a faithful God, He's a compassionate, loving God, He's all-wise God, and He's so faithful, He's so loving, and every day is victory, right? Although there are the difficult times, but we can really rejoice in Him. Right? And so the Scripture teaches us in many places that to worship God, very often there needs to be even the physical expression of God. And one of the persons that wrote a lot about it is the psalmist David. All right? And so we want to talk about some worship postures. The next slide, please. How do we worship? What are we able to do and should do and should not do and still be reverence before God? I think that's a very relevant question. We want to maintain our reverence of God. Okay? But maybe this afternoon, I want you to, for a moment, be a little bit open. Because maybe some of you are not quite comfortable with certain forms of worship, more comfortable with other forms of worship. Maybe we get back to the Word of God. Huh? Let the Word of God be our standard, be our guide. Huh? and be open, right? Maybe I jump a little bit. For most of us, one physical expression of worship we are very comfortable with is kneeling. That's why today at the 8 a.m. service, they even dedicated the new kneelers, you know. You know, later on at, in your communion, you will be kneeling on new kneelers here, okay? All right? And we are comfortable with that. But what about the other expressions of physical worship? You know, we say, oh, no. Yeah. So maybe we need to re-examine again our whole approach or our whole attitude towards physical expressions of worship. Some common challenges to worship. I just put it to you, all right, so that you can reflect and think about this. All right, the next slide, please. Some challenge to worship, which has been with us for many, many years now. All right, the next slide, please. And that is spontaneity versus order. All right. Freedom, all right, to just respond or express ourselves spontaneously without being cute. But there is also the need for order. Okay. Now, the next slide, please. I put it to you that sometimes, the next slide, please. I wish I had a pointer. Cathedral, very difficult. Order minus spontaneity very often equals lifelessness. Right. However, spontaneity minus order, the next slide, please, very often equals chaos. Right. So it's not one or the other. We need to appreciate and desire sometimes a balance of both. The next slide, please. But when we have spontaneity that is encouraged plus the order, then we have celebration. Okay. And one of the things that I have noticed, I have observed in all these years of being a Christian and being in worship services and also leading worship, is really this tension or this struggle, because there is this apprehension and fear, if you like, of emotionalism. Right? I am all for emotions, all right? But I am also not at all encouraging emotionalism. What is emotionalism? Emotionalism is you only go by your emotions. And you just want to feel good and nothing else matters, all right? So you're just a very emotional person, okay? All right? But emotions are given by God. The Lord says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, your entire being, which includes your emotions that God has given to us. And so it is how we channel and encourage healthy emotional response, right? Okay? I want to tell you that the Monday after that event where we won the gold medal, I was actually invited to St. Margaret's Primary School for their assembly, because the Reverend Stephen Sia was being recognized and they bade farewell to him. And they wanted to welcome me, all right, as the new chaplain. Right? So the whole school was assembled. And right in front, the first two rows are primary one and primary twos. And apart from many things that happened, one of the things is they showed a picture of schooling, you know, and winning the gold medal. And I tell you, I'm not exaggerating. The primary one and primary twos, they were all cheering. Yeah! Right? And I was so excited. I said, well, my goodness. So when I went up there, I said, I want to tell you, I'm so happy to be here, because next year, my granddaughter is primary one, okay? All right. So when I come for chapel, I speak to you, you must listen, because this grandpa talking to you. But they were excited, you know. And even little girls could feel the emotion of the pride, you know, and the joy of seeing our own athlete winning the gold medal. And they were clapping, they were cheering, okay. All right. And so it is important that we sometimes examine some of the fears and anxiety we have. Now, I want to tell you that worship in the worship service, it should never be a performance. It should never be for just entertainment. You are not a spectator. You participate in the worship in the way that you feel the most comfortable.
I know some people are a bit more dramatic, a bit more sanguine, a bit more outgoing, and you know, they like to gesture. Some don't, okay? Some really are more undemonstrative. It's okay. God made everyone differently, okay? For me, when I talk, I gesture a lot, you know? And sometimes when I get excited, my wife will say during mealtime, hey, be careful, people come with the drink and all that, you talk, and all that, you know? So just keep your hands, to yourself, all right? But I get excited, okay? And so, but it's not for entertainment. It's also not for just a personal good feeling, right? I come to this worship service because I feel very good. I tell you, really, worship primarily is not about us. It's about worshiping the true and the living God. In our adoration of Him, in expressing our gratitude, our joy, our thanksgiving, and our praise of Him, right? And so whatever it takes for us to express it, let's not have any reservation or inhibition. Does the scriptures encourage the physical expression of worship? Well, we already read one, but we'll read it again. The raising of hands, Psalm 63 and verse 4. So I will bless you as long as I live, the psalmist says. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Lifting up the hands, showing how grateful we are to God, showing how we adore Him, showing how we recognize that He is such a wonderful God, right? We lift up our hands to the Lord, right? And that's raising of hands. Then what about clapping? Clapping. Right? Once in a while, when I'm able to, I would treat myself to a concert in the Esplanade. And after a very, very wonderful piece that is played, maybe Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, played beautifully, okay, I would join the rest of the concert goers and we would clap. And sometimes they clap so long, my hands get tired, okay? But in admiration of that beautiful piece that is played, at the end of the concert, wow, they give clap, sometimes standing ovation, and then one curtain call, two curtain calls. Sometimes I feel these people have ulterior motive. They want to clap until they get an encore. But what about clapping to the Lord? When we sense that He is present with us, that He has done marvelously, wonderful are Your works, Lord. You know, and so the clapping of hands. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. It is encouraged in the scriptures. Right? Clap your hands. And maybe sometimes in our tradition, we are a little bit more inhibited. But I just want to challenge you go back to scriptures again. And it's encouraged. Right? Clapping of the hands. Right? Why did David say that? Because very often it should be a spontaneous response, you know, when you sing a song like what we sang earlier on, right? And you feel, my goodness, this is one point I just want to clap to the Lord. You just do it. There's nothing wrong. Okay? Dancing, this one even more controversial. My goodness, dancing. That's for the nightclub, lah. Not sure, not true, no? It's in the scriptures. We don't dance to the devil, we dance to the Lord. Dancing, right? So let's see, let them praise His name with dancing. It's part of our praise of God. We dance before the Lord. We praise His name with dancing, making melody with Him, to Him with tambourine and lyre. Even with musical instruments, we praise God. Right? And I want to tell you that worship can be a very noisy celebration. Okay? Right? But that noise is befitting of the greatness of God. The greatness of God. All right. And then Psalm 95, verse 6, I already mentioned. This one we are all comfortable with, unless you have weak knees or problem knees. Right? Kneeling before the Lord. The next slide, please. Let us all come. You know, next time, you're a bit fast already. Back. All come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Right? When a king or a very important person comes in during those days, they kneel in respect, right? In adoration, in reverence. So when we sense God's greatness coming into our midst, the response is we kneel. Right? We find it's not even fitting for us to remain standing. We've got to bow down and we kneel. That, my friend, is also a physical expression of worship. Right? Some of you may say, why should I kneel? I just remain standing there, you know. So embarrassing to kneel. These fellas kneel, you know. And then when someone claps, why clap? You know, I shouldn't be clapping. But when kneel, you kneel. Clap, you don't clap. So we pick and choose the things that we are comfortable with, and we are critical about other things that we are not. So I want to put it to you that it is in the scriptures. Right? David, we all know him as a true worshipper. And he spoke of various expressions of worship, revealing his heart's desire to worship the Lord wholeheartedly and without reservation or restraint. I would love to have been a friend of King David. I would love to go to him to worship services, because I know this will be a guy that will be free. He is free before the Lord. Right? Not that he will make a nonsense of himself. Remember, there is order, but there's also freedom to express ourselves, right, wholeheartedly before God. David also, the next slide, David also practiced these expressions. And he was not really bothered about what others thought about it. Now, one of the things that inhibits us is self-consciousness. What will others think, you know? Right? One thing I have trained myself is when I'm worshiping before the God, before the Lord, I tell myself, actually, I am not going to concentrate on the people around me. I am worshiping the Lord before the audience of one. I'm not going to be self-conscious. I'm going to be God-conscious. Okay. One tremendous example of David's attitude towards the physical expression of worship and how sometimes it may ruffle some feathers around him is actually taken in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14. Could I encourage you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6 verses 14 to 23, a very powerful passage of scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 6, could everyone please turn to that portion of scripture? And the context is when the ark of the covenant was brought back to Jerusalem. It was such a reason to celebrate. The ark of the covenant went missing. Finally, they were able to bring it back to its rightful place in Jerusalem. And it had a tremendous effect upon David. And so we pick up from verse 14. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. I underline that in my Bible. No? With all his might. I don't think dancing with all his might was like that. No? I think it was more. Really, I think it was like that, right? With all his might, he was jumping up and down. For us, wearing ropes, jumping up and down, a bit dangerous. We might just trip and fall and end up in the orthopedic ward. And Joseph Tambaya will probably look us up. But he was dancing with all his might. My goodness, that was rejoicing, right? You look at Joseph Schooling's mother, when he finally won the gold, she was jumping up and down. You could not keep her down. Okay? So he was jumping with all of his might. And David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the He was jumping with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet or the shofar. They were blowing and shouting. Then it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in his heart. Now here is someone who is trapped in legalism, or maybe in just prejudice. Oh, you want to worship God, it must be only this way. Any other way, not correct. And David, worse still, you siawa, you are the king, and you are doing this in front of everybody. You must be crazy. She despised him in his heart. And verse 17, so they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread, one of dates and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his own house. It was a time of thanksgiving and celebration. Everyone was given a freshly baked cake to bring home so that they can have their celebration continue at home. And then David went back to his home. He returned to bless his household. Verse 20, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today." Very sarcastic. In another version, translation, he says, "How could you be so undignified?" Sometimes we feel I'm not very dignified. Sometimes we feel, how can you be so undignified? Right? And let's see what how David responded. She said to him, "How the king distinguished himself today, he uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, maids, and as one of the foolish ones, shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in your eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. I will be more highly esteemed than this." In fact, he was saying, I would be even more undignified. If that is what it takes for me to really express that great joy I have for God. Now, I want to say this again, and pause at this time, that I, and I hope all of us, would have a very healthy respect for order. But never discount the spontaneity. Right? Be open. Because when God touches people's hearts, He wants a real response. I grew up also in a very conservative church, okay? But when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, 1976, 40 years ago, one of the things I want to tell you that really hit so many of us was the spontaneity, the dynamism of worship, okay? And many, many people, after so many years of so-called just very strict, dry religion, saw a difference. And many came back to the Lord or came alive, right, in their worship of God. Right? Never lose that. Okay? Alright. Verse 23 is a very, very serious verse that we need to take seriously. And it says,
Michal, the daughter of Saul. By the way, that's his wife, right? David's wife. Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. She became barren. Without being too over-spiritualizing it, I want to say that there's a danger that when we are too critical and judgmental of the way people are expressing their worship before God, we run into the danger of the consequence of barrenness coming into our own life. No life. Go through the motions, no life. And I want to tell you, even among the clergy circles, we have been debating, dialoguing about how come our present churches today, generally speaking, are losing more and more of our young people. This is not the place to discuss all the things, but one of the things that we discover is young people want reality. They want reality. They want real life. They want to see it. And what we owe them is to show them that Christ is real. It's not just something that we inherit from our fathers, and then that's it, you know. It was, that's the way we do. We'll never want to be different, okay? But God moves and breaks down the barriers, sets us free to worship Him. So the final slide, and then we will close. In worship, we express deeply and even physically how our heart feels about God. He is so wonderful. He is so wise. He is so faithful. He comes through victorious. Right? He brings joy where there is great sorrow. He brings the healing when there is despair. And all these things, right? We express it deeply from our hearts, and very often it's also a physical expression. One of the hymns that I still enjoy to sing again and again is, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee." And I want to tell you frankly, maybe that's not you, but that's me. I find it impossible to sing that song without raising my hands. Because when I think of God's faithfulness, my goodness, it is so wonderful, God. We rejoice, we dance, we clap, we shout, we cry, and also often we kneel in reverence as God touches and moves our heart. I believe with all my heart that we are going into a season of refreshing and seeing things that God will do in our midst, in the Cathedral Church, in the Anglican Church in Singapore, that will prepare the bride for the return of the bridegroom. It's all about a real intimate relationship with God. I give you a personal illustration and I'll close. About physical expression, spontaneity. Can you imagine when I first dated my wife, Joyce, nearly 40 years ago, I would tell her, I said, "Tonight, 7:15, I pick you up." Then we arrive in the restaurant at 8 o'clock. At 8:10, I will order the food. And then we will talk maybe 5 minutes, and when the food comes, then we will stop talking, we will just eat, okay? And we will not go beyond 8:45. We will have to finish, and then we will drive to a nice place. We have coffee, okay? And everything is so structured. So I think she will say, "Forget it, lah." It takes the whole romance and joy out of it, isn't it? You know? It is something that should just flow spontaneously. Yeah, maybe your order is okay, by 11 o'clock we have to finish, but between then, let the creative feelings flow.
Honey, I just want to have a lovely evening with you tonight. What's your agenda? I don't know. What's the time frame? I don't know. I know that it will just pass very fast. We think of that, you know, in our relationship, even in human relationship, but in church and with God, my goodness, it's a different thing. Why should it be different? Why? And so we have to reflect again sometimes. May God inject life into our services. Inject exuberance into our worship. You know, sometimes, as a pastor, I always am desirous that new people come into the church. Not Christians, okay, but people from the streets, they come in. And when they come into our services, how they observe and sense the presence of God within us, amongst us, would either deter them or attract them back again. So we've got to ask ourselves sometimes, when people come, do they sense the presence of God? Do they sense the joy? Do they sense that exuberance, that gratitude, that excitement? Or not? Sometimes, I put it to you, we are a little bit self-centered and selfish in our expectation of worship. He said, that's what I want. That's what I am comfortable with. That's what I've been so used to all my life. Friend, don't think just for yourself. Think of others. Think of others. Think of the people who may really need to come and know that God is real. Think beyond yourself. Think beyond your comfort zone. Don't go crazy, all right? And don't be unreal, okay? Be real. But pray that God, you help me let go of some of these inhibitions, okay? Some of these restrictions, some of these chains that bind me until I really don't worship the way David will worship. So my prayer for all of us, right, and for our churches is, God, you send your Spirit upon us. So that, Lord, every time we come together in worship, it is so refreshing. It is so exhilarating and is so reverent. We reverence God. But not just that reverence part. What about the celebration part? What about the joy part? Right? So the whole spectrum. May God do that in our midst. Because I want to tell you, God is a great God. He's wonderful. Beyond our imagination. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you help us be free of any unnecessary impediment and hindrance. That when we worship you, it's not just with our thoughts, our theology, our thinking, but also from our hearts, we worship you. Set us free to be able, Lord, to respond spontaneously and joyfully to you. Whether it be singing, lifting up our hands, clapping, or even shouting and dancing. Lord, when the children were shouting in the temple, some people were very upset. They said, what's all this shouting? And Jesus says, it is said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have perfected praise. It's out of the innocence, out of the exuberance of the children, God was delighted. But some were offended. Lord, I pray that we will be free from that. Because we are one family. We are children of God. And we enjoy the same Father. Help us, Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord, you will continue to bless the Cathedral Church, the leadership here, the 5 p.m. service, as well as all the other services. Move us into a season of worship to the true and the living God.
Lord, bring many new people in to our services. Draw them, Lord, with a sense of your presence and your reality. Let there be life, because only life can bring life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.